On Tuesday of Holy Week, Jesus was at the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and he spoke the following words to them from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." I've never really been one to watch horror movies because I'm kind of a scaredy pants. Plus, the few that I have actually watched after I got past the fear aspect of the movie, the one thing that always drove me nuts was the incredibly stupid decisions that people always make in scary movies. You have the girl alone in a creaky, drafty house in the middle of the woods. The power goes out, there's shadows moving outside, tapping on the window. Suddenly there's a knock at the door, and what does she do? She goes and answers it. "Don't answer the door," you're shouting at your TV. "What are you thinking?" Of course, those are just the type of things that characters do in scary movies. They open the door. They go down into the dark basement. They make a runoff into the scary woods. All foolish decisions that none of us would ever make in those scenarios, but the scriptwriter has to keep the plot moving, and so that's what they do. Unbelievably foolish decisions. And that's really a theme we see in our text this morning. The main characters in our account are 10 young women who all have a part to play in a wedding ceremony. They have one job, which is to be ready for the groom to come with their oil lamps burning. Of course, for an oil lamp to be burning, you need to have oil in it, and 5 of these women did not come prepared with any extra oil. It's the type of decision that makes one just shout at the screen, "What are you thinking? You had one job. Why wouldn't you bring any extra oil?" An unbelievably foolish decision, and yet one that we've all made again and again, because there have been times in each of our lives when our oil was running low. In fact, maybe your oil is running low this morning. The lamp of your faith seemingly just a flicker as you feel like you've grown further apart from God. Or maybe you can't even really tell if that's the case, and yet there are so many things that have been taking up all of your time and attention that your faith life has turned into just a smoldering ember. If this is you, then you would do well to listen to our Savior's words this morning. In Jesus' parable, he is the bridegroom. The visible church on earth, those who claim to be Christians, are the 10 virgins. His overarching point is that he is coming back, and we don't know when, so we ought to stay ready for it. Now, of the 10 virgins, you have the 5 wise staying prepared and the 5 foolish who are unprepared. Similarly, in the visible church on earth, there are the wise who are actually getting ready for Christ's return, and there are the foolish who figure they'll always have time later to start preparing. So which one are you? Are you wise or are you foolish? Yes, that's the answer. We are all both wise and foolish. We are wise because we do believe in Christ as our Savior. As Christians, we are looking forward to his return. And we are foolish because we are all foolish sinners who are so inclined to letting our oil run low. You know, as students, if you have a teacher that says, "We have a test 1 week from today," you're probably not going to spend the next 7 days studying, maybe just the last night or two beforehand. And if you study those days, you'll probably do just fine. But if you have a type of teacher that likes to give a lot of pop quizzes to see if you're actually doing all of your daily reading, and your grade depends on these, well, then you're not going to wait until the night before to start preparing, because you never know when the night before is. So you always stay prepared. You always do the assigned reading. You always stay ready at all times, because tomorrow could be another quiz. Verse 5 of our text says, "As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.'" It's a pop quiz. He came when they weren't expecting it, after midnight, during the middle of their rest. And so it will be on Judgment Day. Jesus told us in the previous chapter, chapter 24, "Therefore you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Just like a pop quiz. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, but he is coming, so we ought to be preparing. And yet, don't we treat Judgment Day as if we knew exactly when it was coming? We treat it just like a test on the schedule, that as long as we study the night before, we should do just fine. And so if a Sunday comes when we aren't really feeling like getting up and going to church, we tell ourselves, "Oh, it's okay, I'll just go next Sunday." We fill up our daily schedules with so much busyness that God gets pushed to the remnants of our time, mostly even just getting pushed off until tomorrow. We say things like, "I should really start doing daily Bible reading. Maybe I'll start that next month." Jesus is coming back, and we don't know when, but we treat it as if we have all the time in the world. It makes you want to just yell at yourself, "What are you thinking? God gave you one thing to do, and you are blowing it." We need to be urgent in our preparations, because if we are not, then we are the foolish ones expecting to have time to fill our oil tomorrow. And if that is the case, then Jesus will answer us from the other side of a closed door and say, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you." Kind of makes you feel sick, doesn't it? Now, an important point needs to be made regarding this text. Notice that all 10 of the virgins, what were they doing when the bridegroom arrived? They were, every one of them, sleeping. They were not awake, standing watch. Even the ones with lamps full of oil fell asleep on the job. Interestingly, though, we see the patient mercy of God shining through in this parable, because the bridegroom sends someone to cry out to wake them up. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept, but at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." If it were not for this cry, all 10 of them would have been doomed. None would have been prepared for the wedding feast. So this parable is not just about, am I wise or am I foolish? It's about the wise one who knows that he must make the preparations for us. He must fill the oil of our lamps. He must send out a call into our hearts to shake us awake, to prepare us, to make us acceptable before his judgment throne. Because when he returns, he does not want to catch us asleep and unprepared. He is returning so that he can catch us up to heaven to be with him. And so he sends out the call right now into your hearts every time the word of God hits your ears. He is sending out that word to you today as a voice crying out, "The bridegroom is coming." He sends his word to wake you up to your true spiritual condition so that you can recognize just how lax you have been in your preparations. He sends out this call so that rather than frantically turning to others and asking for some of their oil, you can simply take all of your sins and your failures and you can lay it at the feet of the bridegroom and believe that it has all been paid for on the cross of Calvary. Now, if you do feel like your oil has been running a bit low, if you are concerned that when Jesus comes back, you might be on the outside of the marriage feast looking in, I would invite you to remember the hour is late, but it's not too late. You can return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The only time his patience ever ran out was on that dark Friday on the hill outside of Jerusalem. There, he poured out his anger over your sin and over your faithlessness. He poured it out on his own son. But he did all this so that as long as you are alive, there is still forgiveness available for you. As you wait for the day when Jesus will come again on the clouds of heaven, you can take your sins, no matter how great, and lay them at Jesus' feet. For Scripture says, where sin abounded, there grace abounded much more. With this grace in hand, do you realize what a blessing belongs to you? You, out of all the multitudes in the world, you have been filled with the oil necessary for eternal life. While countless thousands are perishing in the darkness of their unbelief, God has put faith in your heart to trust in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Believing in Christ as our Savior from sin we can look forward to his return, saying in our hearts, "The one who is coming to judge me most truly, he's also the one who loves me most fully." Due to the loving preparations of our Savior, may we ever pray, "Come quickly, Lord." We'll conclude our chapel with the singing of hymn 396.
Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by many a foe, that will not tremble on the brink of poverty or woe. That will not murmur nor complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief or pain can lean upon its God. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. Bears unmoved the world's dread frown, nor heeds his scornful smile, that sin's wild ocean cannot drown, nor Satan's arts beguile. A faith that keeps a narrow way till life's last spark is fled, and with a pure and merry ray lights up the dying bed. Lord, give us such a faith as this, and then whate'er may come, we'll taste now the hallowed bliss of an eternal.